Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Caught a live mic slip moment where I said oops into the mic this morning. It has been a oops kind of morning. If you're a dog owner, you might relate to what it is like to wake up, to be kind of walking around, not quite fully awake yet, a little drowsy still. In one moment, thinking, what is that awful smell? And in the very next moment, feeling your foot squishing something under your foot that you wish you had not squished. That was how we started the morning at the Melton household this morning. And I will say, because our message today is about joy as a fruit of the Spirit, that it was a moment where I did not feel joyful. I did not feel joyful. In fact, there were several moments where a few of us in the household did not feel joyful. And the beauty is that it's something that we were able to get through, and everything is clean and sterilized, and we think the dog is happy again. And it's okay, we get back to a good place, we get back to joy. In 2015, there was a film directed and written by a man named Pete Docter, and it was released to great critical acclaim. It was animated, and the inspiration for the film were the changes that Pete noticed in his daughter as she grew a little older, from an infant to a child. And it won Best Animated Feature at the Academy Awards, made a big splash. I'm talking about the Pixar film Inside Out, in which we watch the interaction between five animated characters in a control room of the mind, and each character represents the emotions of a young girl named Riley, and they interact with each other. They are joy, sadness, fear, disgust, and anger, and in this control room of Riley's mind, they banter, they argue, occasionally they agree, but one seems to always take the lead. Joy always takes the lead. She's a cheerleader. She's happy. She's the one that keeps things moving in a positive direction. And Riley's life, as a result, is by and large fairly happy. Joy is always out front. And then something happens. The family moves. And Riley loses all her friends and her familiar surroundings. And another character in the room, a very lugubrious one named Sadness, seems to be steering Riley in other directions, much to Joy's horror. Joy loses the leadership of the emotions. Well, in the film, Riley works through her sadness and begins to accept her new situation. And in the control room, Joy and Sadness work things out. They talk. Joy empathizes with Sadness. Sadness is healed. And Joy can be the leader of the band, so to speak. Again, Riley is joyful again, having worked through a difficult transition in life and coming out the other side a stronger person. Joy is a key aspect of life, and as we'll see in a moment, a key practice at a deeper level. Now, some people are blessed with a temperament that gravitates toward joy. For others of us, it is more of a growth practice. Several years ago, I was having a friendly back and forth on Facebook with some friends there and acquaintances that I grew up with. I grew up in the same town, so I knew some people from kindergarten all the way to high school. And we were kind of joking back and forth. And I was not known as a particularly not joyful person, but it just wasn't what I was known for. I was known for being serious. Somebody said in this thread, well, what would you know, Dan? You were like 13 going on 40 in middle school. And she was right. She was right. Some of us gravitate toward joy. For some of us, it's more of a practice. And sometimes we can illustrate what something is by illustrating what it is not. Michael Paterniti wrote a book called The Telling Room. And in this account, it tells about how in the book he shares a true story that happened in Sicily. He was visiting his ancestral village. And every day when he was in the village, he saw a very old woman walking with her cane, struggling to get up a steep road to get to the local cemetery. It was said that at her pace, the walk from home to cemetery and back took about 6 hours out of her day. She did it every day. Now, what inspired this? Was it sorrow over a departed child? Was it the deceased husband, the love of her life? Actually, the locals told Michael that she was driven by astio, or bitter hatred. Her arch enemy was buried in that cemetery. So rain or shine, she walked up that hill every day to her enemy's gravesite just to spit on it one more time. Now, if a life is filled with hatred or bitterness or anger, it's not likely that joy is going to be out front cheerleading in that life. Ask yourself in your own life, is there anything squelching joy? We've been studying the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul tells us that joy is one of those fruits. Just as a healthy tree bears healthy fruit, joy is a natural byproduct of the Spirit-filled Christian life. And in Galatians 5, Paul writes, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's say them together. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Today we're talking about joy. How is your practice of joy? It's easy for joy to get sidelined, isn't it? I mean, we're busy. Do we really even take time for joy? Life can be stressful. In the film Inside Out 2, young Riley emerges into adolescence. Life and friendships begin to shift again. She begins to care very much about what her peers think of her. And in adolescence, a whole new group of emotions that has never been in the control room suddenly busts in and starts calling the shots. And one of them, named anxiety, sidelines joy. And I won't say more than that because it's a newer film and some of you haven't seen it yet. But the point is, there are so many times in life where joy can get kicked out of the control room. There's also a danger that we reduce joy to a temperament. She's just a joyful person. I'm not that kind of person. Paul says, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't ask, well, are you kind of that kind of person? Is that how you're wired? He's having a different conversation. He's saying, regardless of how you're wired, the practice is when the Holy Spirit is a part of your life, a natural outgrowth is joy. And if that's not happening, then something is sidelining joy. Many of you know that years ago, I enrolled in, of all things, a master's program in acupuncture. Ancient Chinese medicine dramatically impacted our family when our eldest joined our family in China through the miracle of adoption. And she got very sick, and she could barely breathe, and then she got some Chinese herbal medicine from the local hospital. We were completely freaked out. This is our second night of parenthood. She's turning a little bit blue. We're on the phone with our pediatrician in the States. She got this Chinese herbal medicine that had been dispensed from a local hospital. In 20 minutes, she could breathe again. And I thought, okay, what the heck is this? Like, okay, people have been getting sick for a long time. There's something to this. We just don't know about it. So 11 years later, I find myself in the first accredited acupuncture school in the country, which was in Laurel. And I was very inspired by one of the co-founders. He was Bob. He was a former Catholic priest. He knew theology. He knew philosophy. He knew life. He was wise. He was insightful. And I thought, I could learn a lot from this guy. And I enrolled. The other co-founder was smart and kind and good. And she had a doctorate in something. And she had written books. And I didn't always know how to be around her. Her name was and is Diane. And it was hard to be in Diane's presence and not receive a beautiful, wide smile from her, if not a kiss on the cheek and a hug. Whether you were ready for it or not, it was coming. Everyone called her Mama Diane. Once I was talking to someone from the school, and she was in a different program. She didn't have Diane as an instructor or a teacher. And she said, you know, the funniest thing just happened to me the other day. I was just sitting in the library. And this woman came through, and she was sort of laughing and giggling, and she knew a lot of people, and she hugged everyone and smiled at them and gave them a kiss on the cheek, including me. And I didn't even know her name. I don't know what that was, but it actually felt really good. Bob and Diane knew each other for decades and taught together for decades, and their offices were right next to each other. And when Bob passed away, Diane, she had to be in her mid-70s when she did this, she decided to celebrate his life and the joy and thrill of life in general and remembering him by parachuting out of an airplane at one of these places that videos people parachuting out of airplanes, and she posted the video on Facebook. now. And her expression is like one of like shock and then laughter as she is descending back to Earth. Now, she didn't fall out of an airplane. That would be a different thing. She designed this. She decided to do this. It was a way she decided to practice exhilaration and the joy of life. So it's interesting. I enrolled in that place because of Bob, and I learned about probably as much from Diane. Now, without saying too much about her background, I know that as a child, she pushed through some incredible adversity. She had plenty of reason to be bitter about life, to be resentful. And instead, she chose joy as a practice. So take a moment. Just like that movie Inside Out, we all have sort of this default stream of consciousness, inner narrators about ourselves, about our lives, our habits. And we have a voice going on in here all the time. And that voice has themes that it comes back to. Now, your themes may be joyful, praise God if they are, and they may also be critical. They may also be frustrated. They may also be irritable. They may lack, or evidence a lack of self-esteem. There may be self-hate there or self-deprecation. The power of setting our intentions and our practices goes deep, because what our mind tells our body carries a lot of weight. Sometimes we find the breadcrumbs of this, the power of the mind, in the strangest places. Years ago, I was reading, and there was a case reference to a study with someone with multiple personality disorder, several different personalities living in the same body, or at least manifesting in the same body, and people with this disorder switched them. They switched back and forth from time to time. What was shocking, this was not like a woo-woo kind of thing. This was a professor doing a formal study at the University of Maryland. What was shocking is they studied one person in whom the blood tests changed depending on who was talking. One personality demonstrated diabetes, but another personality in the same body had no diabetes in the blood test. Absolutely amazing. I mean, what the mind tells the body is incredible. Think of what presencing joy could do. Think about it. Years ago, a film was made about Patch Adams. He was a young man at the time. He had to fight his way through medical school because of his unorthodox approach to medicine. Instead of being stoic and distant and using the white coat as a barrier, Patch met people as one human being to another and then brought them joy to help heal them from illness. I came across an article in the peer-reviewed Journal of Hospital Medicine in 2019 that quotes him as saying, "The most radical act anyone can commit is to be happy." The author of this article, Betty Ann Heggie, goes on to write, "Patch understood that laughter was important not only in healing, but also for filling the souls of those who care for patients. Each of us has a well within us full of compassion, caring, healing, yet daily we face fear, pain, frustration, exhaustion, grief, loss. All of these emotions can deplete us while our patients are expecting and need more from us. There is perhaps no quicker way to replenish our wells," she says, "by the simple act of laughing. Research shows that children laugh about 400 times a day, hence joy being in leadership in the mind of a child. But adults, on average, only laugh about 15 times. I would be curious to know what the number is post-pandemic, if it's even 15. She writes that laughter is like a bee pollinating flowers and bringing them to life. And she says, well, how do you do it? She says, first of all, smile. Smiling is contagious because it invokes something called mirror neurons, which allow babies to mimic facial and emotional responses. And those neurons, they fire in response to sensory input. So if you smile, you bring a smile to the world, other people will start smiling. It's amazing. And you can do this as an intentional practice in the Holy Spirit. So learn to laugh. That's why sitcoms include laugh tracks. As irritating as they can be, they're designed to make other people laugh. So Mama Diane, a great role model for me, walking through life, laughing, smiling, hugging. She says, have some jokes ready. She says, plan silly times. That's something we do at our house when things get a little tense. I sometimes take on a character. I'm not going to replay them for you now. but they're silly, and sometimes that eases the tension. She says, be a good sport, celebrate success and fun, but laughter is the best medicine. It not only heals others, but it helps lighten our daily loads. Now, this all makes sense when you think about the design of the Christian life in Galatians chapter 5. It all comes together. Paul says joy is a part of it. And we Christians think about it. We have reason to be uniquely joyful. We are made, we know this. Not everybody knows this. We know that we are made in the image of God. We know that God is love and that God loves us. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not everybody knows that. We have confidence in a joyful eternal life. Not even death can squelch our joy ultimately. And at Advent, we remember the angels in heaven celebrating. Think about the Gospel of Luke, where we read, suddenly, as they appeared before the shepherd, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace among those whom he favors. There is nothing getting in the way of joy at that moment. What if joy was a fruit that blossomed more often in your life? So let's come back to that inner stream of consciousness, that inner narrator, that inner voice. What's it been saying lately? What's the tone? What's the inner dialogue? Maybe it's hurry, worry, anxiety, frustration, regret, hopelessness. I'm no good. I'm not good enough. I don't look right. I'm not the right weight or the right height, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How would all of that shift if we could presence some joy? I want to just practice that. I want to invite you to take a moment to be still. And you can close your eyes or not, whatever makes you comfortable. But just get comfortable in your seat for a moment. Just be reminded, what gift of God brings you joy in life? What brings you joy? Presence that in your mind. It's okay if you start to smile. Paul says we can. There's no law against these things. We can do them as much as we want. Can you be happy in that moment? Presencing the thing, that the person, the dynamic that makes you joyful. And can you take a moment and say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.